Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I am unashamed. What about you?
Thunderstorms.
No.
Oh, I thought it was thunderstorm. Well, you ain't flying out of here today.
No. Well, that's not the reason that I've got to, I've got to drive to Dallas to fly to Idaho, but it's not because of the weather. We're having some weather today. It's because at one time we had American, Delta, and United that hubbed out of Monroe. And so the problem is that United no longer comes to Monroe.
Yeah.
The only airline that flies into this town in Idaho that Lisa and I are going to speak is United. Huh. So.
Al, you need to either.
I mean.
Here's my recommendation. You either need to hire you a logistics coordinator or you need to move.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I'm traveling a lot.
I do.
And you're right, though. The problem is that I have to, that Lisa and I are keeping up with our own stuff. I need a Bonnie. You got a Bonnie. I don't have a Bonnie in my life.
I was in North Mississippi yesterday. I'm back here now. Fixed to go to Florida, then to Virginia, then to Kansas, then back here. That's in the next few days.
So you're on quite the little run yourself.
The only reason I know that is because Miss Bonnie sent me that, said, this is where you're headed.
That's right.
Oh, great.
Well, you know, I mean, you're just meeting folks, and we still like to go and talk to people. I still enjoy it.
Well, here's the deal. It's not necessarily where you're going. It's who you're with.
Yeah.
So I feel good about it. We're getting Jesus out there.
Yep.
We're making TV shows. That's going pretty well. I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, I know.
Starting to actually find some.
I can't
cool
wait
stuff.
Until your show releases, because we can't talk about it. So,
yeah, I'm not sure why.
But when they release,
the
we'll have a lot to talk about, because it'll tell us all the behind the scenes stories.
Yeah, I can give you all the ooey gooey
of the show. Yeah.
You know,
and your crew. So, Dad, you're deep in study over there, I see.
Phil doesn't even have his money.
Hang on.
Not really.
That was so deep in his Bible study that he forgot that we're doing a podcast.
I have preached the gospel as the Lord has provided to more people in the last 10 days by far than whatever I've done up to being 75 years old.
Oh, really?
In the last 10 days, I've preached the gospel literally to millions.
You have.
So.
And the promoting of his new book provided the platforms to all these different radio shows, podcasts, news shows.
There at no time, which surprised me, at no time was there any hostility.
No hostility.
They would listen. I don't know whether they agreed with what God said about everything or not. I said, look, but what came out of all that is if you heard them talk when I wasn't there, but afterwards, they would. Most of them said, well, that's the first time I've ever seen a guy with every question. Most of the time, he just turned to it as soon as we ask it.
Right.
He said, but he answered every question with a Bible verse, every one of them.
It's always a good.
And when some of them asked me about that, and I said, argue with God, but I'm not going to give you opinions, because opinions like elbows, everybody's got a couple of them.
Yeah, I had a weird, that reminds me of, we brought this couple to the Lord years ago, and the wife, she's still going strong. to this day. But her husband was a, how would I describe him? He was like a professional talker. It could talk his way out of anything. And so he would come up, he would constantly try to get around from a biblical perspective that there is a God, that Jesus is Lord. And
yep.
So, and it was basically always, you know, we're in 1 Corinthians talking about idolatry. It was a way to excuse his behavior, which was not godly.
Yep.
You can read between the lines there. But every time I saw him, he would start talking and he would just go on and on and on and on. And it was like, when you actually stopped and thought about what he was saying, it was just nonsense. It was just nonsensical. So I said, look, I've made a decision. I'm only going to talk to you from a scripture basis. You, do you believe in God? He's like, oh, yeah. And then he would start talking, whoa, whoa, whoa. You give me scriptures, and I'll give you scriptures every time we see each other. That will be the entirety of our conversation.
Yep.
So guess what happened to him for the first time in his life? He got quiet.
Nothing to say.
He would go to say something, and I'd say, better be a scripture.
Yep.
Quit talking. And it made me think of that verse where everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
That is why every empire that there's ever been has collapsed. Because, just think about it. If you think they didn't think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, well, that means they're not going to use scriptures to say, well, here's what God said. And they really believe that. They say, you don't want the bottom line answer. We can't do that because we're going to have to stop behaving like we're behaving.
Yep.
It's going to force us to start doing good if we're going to go get around all these Bible verses.
Right.
It forces them to be loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind. The scriptures themselves.
Well, and we get people.
If you'll read them and then apply them.
We get people that ask all the time, well, I mean, you guys obviously know the Bible, but, you know, how do I do that? And but it's really simple. I mean, you read it, you study it, and you teach it.
Yeah.
And you say, well, I don't have a venue to teach, but everybody does. You have a, if you're married, you got a family, you have a venue to share what was, if you have a conversation, to Jace's point, at work. I mean, like, every conversation I have, I don't know about y'all, but it always, I always think of something biblically. Yeah. That applies into what I'm talking about.
My number one thing is I try to introduce the author creatively. So whatever characteristics about God, whether he's eternal, he's the creator, the designer, life, all these principles and characteristics of who he is, I try to look for ways when I hear something about his qualities. Like, I mean, y'all make fun of me all the time for making fun of these Hollywood projections or these ads that try to sell stuff, and they just throw around words like forever and eternal, and this is, you know, we're going to be 21 forever. No, you're not. You're not going to do it without God. So then it, to me, that leads you to scriptures that are, I mean, just even yesterday, they were, the TV people were trying to describe what had happened because Mary had found something really cool. And Jeff and I, we were just like all in his business now because you're like, well, if there's something here,
yeah,
there may be more. And they were like trying to describe it, like the phenomenon that was occurring. And I said, where there is a dead carcass, there the vultures will gather.
Yeah.
And look, they all hoop like, that's it. That's it. I said, that's actually Matthew. Looking around. That's in the Bible? Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a verse in the Bible. Wow.
Imagine that. It is. It is interesting when you think about the Hollywood types that so much depth in verbiage comes out of people so shallow. You know what I'm saying? They're running on the top of the water, but they're all the time using those in-depth words.
Well, look, if this ever gets out that, you know, half of the material that I'm coming forth with, because look, at this stage of my TV career, they just turn the cameras on and they say, go.
Yeah.
They don't realize the material is actually coming from verses in the Bible.
Dad was a master at it on our show, but you could never do book, chapter, verse, or it wouldn't make it. But you had to go under the radar.
It was one of the worst experiences I've ever been through.
Well, do you realize how many
trying to satisfy a film crew who knows nothing about Jesus and doesn't believe the Bible at all, and they're filming us, and I'm thinking, man, that. I said, I got to get out of here.
I love when somebody, some interview, asked Dad, so what was it like to be on, you know, reality TV and be a TV star? Dad said, I hated it. It was terrible.
I fell.
Reality is wrong wordage for what they were up to. We got a reality show. I said, no, it's a long way from reality.
Well, here's what I want to tell you, the good news. We learned some lessons.
That's to your point.
Yeah, we learned some lessons, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be who I am.
That's right.
My compadres, and if that means we either...
If you want to film it and put it on,
you want to film it, whether we reach the top of the mountain and say, treasure, or we're down at the valley saying, we found nothing. I was like, we're going to run it.
That's right.
But I told them, I was like, you know where the idea came from is I read every verse in the Bible about treasure.
Yeah.
I was like, there's a lot in here about treasure. So if you could come up with a show that has a dual meaning where you're finding treasure, but really underneath there's some spiritual treasure, there's some eternal treasure that's driving the train, that might be entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
Isn't there a verse of where your heart is? That'll tell you where your treasure is.
I've used a version of that verse already. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Yeah,
it's treasure first, meaning that that's what you'll care about. So, Jace, I forgot, a couple of podcasts ago, I mentioned the marriage retreat was last weekend, and I forgot to tell you there was a really cool moment for me, because I told about the time all of us went on that one marriage retreat, you know, we ate in Mom's room and all that, and it was funny. But at that marriage retreat, you share the gospel with a couple. It's actually the wife. She had never fully surrendered, and she had never been baptized. And so you shared with them. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I remember that.
And you baptized her, I think, in a hot tub that wasn't hot. was that what it was?
Like 25 degrees. I was like, well, we got a lake. And then somebody, but they were like doing construction.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we have a hot tub, but it's not finished.
Yeah.
And I was like, does it have water in it? Yep, but it's not hot. And so I was like, well, we can either go out there in the lake where the wind's blowing, or we could just wait till we get back to a warm setting.
Right, but she was ready.
Like, no, I'm doing
so
this right now.
If I'm not mistaken, it was the first night of the retreat, so it was really a cool thing. But now that's probably been 20 years ago or more. But it was what was interesting, Jace, was that brother, her husband, passed away last year suddenly.
We were actually pretty good friends.
Yeah, really, it was a sad passing because he was young, too young from our perspective. But their son, just got married a couple months ago after his dad died. Well, they were at the marriage retreat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was such a cool thing because when I looked at him, you know, brand new marriage, of course, you know, she's in tears. You know, you just got married. You know, it's always all the things you're struggling with. But then I talked to him, and it was such a cool thing, and I told him about that, and he said, oh, I've heard that story. I said, you know, your mom and dad were here, and this is where your mom, right here in this place, decided she was going to go all in for Jesus. I said, this year you lost your dad, but she's like unwavering, you know, because of what she believes, and she will see him again.
But oh, she's a warrior.
That was a nice circle around, you know.
She's a warrior. She's been a warrior for the Lord, and so was he.
Yeah.
And, that was a strange We, you know, because I didn't really want to go to the marriage retreat because back then I was immature and stupid even more than I am now. But I was like, what do we got to go up there and talk about marriage? And Missy said this, you know, famous line, babe, it's not about you. Okay, I'll go. So I went, and it really turned out, really wasn't about me. We went to the festivities, then they came to us after the program, and it was way better than I anticipated. It was funny, and
yeah, we had a good
about
time.
Marriage, and then they came to our room, and we literally studied all night.
Yeah,
and she was just she come in there, just tears in her eyes, and she's like, "I've never given my life to Christ,
right?
And I want to make that happen."
Well, so. I just thought about it. Let's take a break. So we're talking about when we get to 1 Corinthians 11, Jace, about hair.
I just got a haircut.
Well, I couldn't tell, but...
Really?
Yeah. So you got a lot of hair, though, right?
I don't know how I feel about that.
So we're talking about the difference in masculine and feminine when it comes to hair. Men tend to get this, and some women, I guess, but it's mostly men, have male pattern baldness, they call it. I'm not exactly sure how it works. Somehow it skips a generation, something. But if you're losing your hair, you figure that out pretty early for most men. And so one of our sponsors, Keeps, who's been with us, you know, I think from the beginning of our podcast, what they have is a program to help you hold on to your hair, hence the word Keeps. You want to keep your hair. So, and they can improve hair growth as well. So they're about half the price of a traditional pharmacy, so it's a pretty good deal in terms of what you would pay for. They've got a full-year unlimited messaging. Anytime, they have a doctor there that you can talk to about it, make sure it's safe for you. So check these guys out. Go to Keeps, KEEPS.com/door. That's Keeps.com/door. You're going to get 50% off your first order, which is great. So if you want to hold on to that hair, check them out, Keeps.com/door. I just thought about what we talk about divine appointments, you know, where because you and Missy, I don't know that you ever went to another one, but you like needed to be there that time for her, but also, of course, what you gained yourself. And then I looked at the fruit 20 something years later. Here's their child who just got married, and now their life is being shaped. So it's really a cool, I don't know, I guess the older you get, the more you sort of see the. When you see those generational things, you really appreciate them, you know, I think more.
I think most people in the religious world, they always think, oh, we got to go out and evangelize the nations, you know, Matthew 28, which is true. And there's a lot of great, fantastic missionaries out there who are doing this.
Yep.
But for us who are here, if you'll just share with the people in your earshot.
Yep.
If you believe that God is really good at arranging appointments,
yep,
on earth. I mean, here we are, have the Spirit. The mystery of godliness is that Christ is in us. And then there's people in earshot that you can, and you know, it doesn't have to be a 3-point sermon.
Right.
You're just planting seeds by your life and what you say that leads people to Jesus.
That's right. And you don't have, it's not a question of being a, you know, a trained person, a person who's, you know, knows a ton of scripture. It's just like you said, it's introducing them to Jesus. I mean, it really does. It's life-changing.
Going back to the show, I mean, Duck Dynasty wasn't a religious show. And
no, it was a fun
neither
show.
Neither is the show I'm working on now, but hopefully you can see the Spirit that is leading us in the way we interact and what we do and the messages that it's about. It's the same concept. And if people like the show, like us, and they want to know why, then we're going to point them to the Lord, because without Him, we're nothing.
Well, and we grew up like that. I mean, it was always colorful and entertaining. The dad's friends, the people, you know, once he became a Christian, the people that we had around, the stories that were told. I can remember we'd have people over and have fish, and then Dad would just tell stories for 2 hours. You remember that one? Just, you know, I mean, yeah. you made it colorful and exciting, and people wanted to be around that. And I think that's the way we should be. Christianity, I mean, I joked the other day that they were calling themselves in the Northeast the Frozen Chosen. But some people, that's the way they view Christianity. It's like it has to be dull and boring, and that's just terrible, you know?
Yep.
I mean, to me, it's like taking the most beautiful treasure, jewel, you ever could find and putting it in a tow sack and then just leaving it there, you know, and never showing it to people. I mean, it's, you know, what we have is so amazing. So,
yeah.
So we're in 1 Corinthians. We left off in chapter 10. And this, we're about to hit into this stretch from 11 through 14. That's probably, you know, I guess it, I would describe it as a difficult section of text because, so, you know, we've already tried to establish before we ever get there, and Larry Bowles really helped us a lot too with, when he came and did his lesson, that Corinthians, first and second, but especially in the first letter, this letter, that he was dealing with specific things that were asked of him that we don't even know exactly what they were. He'll say, now about this matter, about that matter, you wrote me about this. But it was very specific to this particular group of people, because in some of his other letters, you know, he treats it totally different. We didn't deal with this, Joseph, but back when we were in chapter 9, when he was talking about how he would rather die, as we said, than get paid by the Corinthian church. But, you know, when I went and looked up in Philippians, he took money from them. Mm-hmm. You know, the Philippian church blessed him. And he's going to say later in 2 Corinthians that he said, I had to rob other churches. That was the way he put it. To be able to do ministry for you. So whatever was unique about his situation in Corinth, I think it was because a lot of them were doubting him. He was like not going to get paid. But in another context, it's totally different. So I think all that backdrop helps prepare us for some of the issues that they were having, you know, within their group that we're going to kind of kick into when we get to chapter 11. But before we do that,
if their meetings were doing more harm, their coming together was actually, according to the apostle, doing more harm than good.
Yes, what he says.
Well, that's when that's pretty serious.
Yeah.
Be better off if you don't even come together.
That's not good.
Not good.
That's bad. But before we get there, we didn't quite close out the last thought in chapter 10. I want to do that before we go into it, because he's going to kind of wrap up the thought from 8, 9, and 10. And it starts in verse 23 of chapter 10, because he's going to kind of repeat. He's already said this once. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. And this is this whole concept about, you know, how do I treat my brother? What if he views something differently than I do? I know I have the freedom to do it, but how do I treat him? Then he says, eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, which is pretty plain. I mean, he said, you know, when you understand freedom, you understand it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience, because they're not thinking anything about it either, is his point. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake. So what if the guy's like, has a problem? The other man's conscience, I mean not yours, for why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? Which tells you that when you have liberty, it's yours to give, not someone else's to take, which I think could be a good lesson in our culture today. Then he says, if in verse 30, if I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of
God. Well, we've pointed out from time to time that within the church, even God's people, it's pretty easy for them, without really realizing it, to put forth hatred, the lack of thankfulness, being too sharp-tongued with your neighbor,
yep.
You know, arguing, making silly arguments about stuff that doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
Yep.
That's been going on within churches for years, ever since Book of Acts. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's for human beings to love one another and not count, keep no record of wrongs. That's a hard lesson to learn for the human race, as it turns out.
Well, and, you know, through the years.
I've said so many times that somebody come up all excited, you know, do you believe it? Yeah, all upset and everything. I said, look, don't worry about that.
Right.
Don't even worry about that. Just go on with your life. Quit making such a big, so many times I can't count them.
Yeah.
People have been out of shape for no good reason.
Well, and it's you get mad at
gossip, slander.
Somebody in the church, you get mad at church leadership, you get mad at the pastor.
Oh, yeah. Like just, a paid preacher like you were, you caught the brunt of it.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, Paul never said, he just put it in the framework of, I'm doing this for the gospel. I don't want to get paid, you know, because this is my gift to the kingdom.
It's way better if they operate like we're rolling now inside the church.
My life is a lot better than it was back in the day because you feel that pressure about it, you know. And you're trying to, and it's funny because he even said, I'm trying to please people. I mean, which I thought was kind of funny, Paul saying that. He said, I want to please people, but at the same time, people are hard to please.
And once they start, the money starts changing hands where you're a paid preacher, it's real easy for the majority of the people to say, hey, that's what we pay him for.
Yeah.
He needs to do everything, visit the sick. I mean, they'll put you on a schedule where it's grueling.
Yeah. Well, and I thought about, let's take a break. So one of my favorite sponsors of our podcast is a group that I really have fallen in love with, and Lisa too. Lisa's actually done some writing for them. It's called 40 Days for Life. And we had Sean Carney on our podcast a while back and tell us a little bit about their organization, what they're doing. We love it. They're kind of at the front and center of the pro-life movement, which Lisa and I do a lot of things in the same movement. So they've written a book to help you to be able to discuss abortion, because so many people, you know, obviously it used to be half the country was pro-choice and half was pro-life. I think it's more pro-life now, which praise God for that. But in having a discussion with people, kind of how to know what to say. And so the name of the book is What to Say When, The Complete New Guide to Discussing Abortion. And so these guys have come up with this book to help you have those discussions at work, in your family, you know, anywhere. So check them out, 40daysforlifegear.com. You're going to get 20% off books, other gear, if you use the code word DUCK. It's a great way to support a great cause and a great ministry. That's 20% off all books and gear with the code DUCK at 40daysforlifegear.com. Check them out. I thought about this text, Dad.
Instead of pitching in and helping you, no.
I thought about this text, and it's a very deeply personal story to me. But when Lisa and I went through all our stuff, I was working for the church. And so, I mean, I was immediately, overnight, I was damaged goods, you know, because my marriage was falling apart. So how do you church leadership has to figure out a way to deal with that. I mean, you're working for the church. And I was so broken, I had nothing to offer other than I was just a mess. But some of our brothers and friends, people, you know, they're still close friends of mine, they were trying to help best they could. And so they sort of they mapped out a strategy about how it was best for me to go forward. And the problem I had was that they didn't ask me if I thought it was a good idea. So I thought about this idea about liberty. And so, because liberty is yours to give, it's not for others to take.
Yep.
And so you were a part of a meeting where someone laid out this strategy of how I needed to roll going forward. And you were the one that said, you know what, fellas, I don't think this is our place to tell Al how he needs to move forward and conduct his business. And they backed off. But I mean, I don't know if I ever told you that, but how much I appreciated that, because I was feeling that pressure.
Oh, yeah.
That I needed to, you know, listen. And I didn't. And I did. I was open to listen. But at the same time, it wasn't really what I felt like I needed to do and Lisa needed to do. So that's the thing about it is, you get any of this stuff that we're reading, I think you have to look at it.
Well, the good news is, Al, now you're still there and you're not charging them anything.
Well, yeah.
So sometimes they have to be patient.
They're getting a good deal. No doubt about it.
That Ephesians 4:11, you know, he said it was he who gave son to be apostles. And so 1 Corinthians 9:1 mentioned that. You know, eyewitnesses, to the resurrected Lord.
Yep.
And it was some to be prophets, and there's been a host of those, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. So leadership, which is what we're talking about.
Yep.
But that next verse, which I think in any translation says to prepare God's people for works of service. I mean, we got this backwards.
Yeah.
You pay him, he does the work. We watch, make sure everything's going on. All right.
And we
should we give him a raise? Yeah. Or I don't have to tell you what, that old boy's working hard. Let's give him a little more. But that this is like they're supposed to prepare the people for the work that happens outside this arena.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear, right?
They're like, things aren't going well. Fire the preacher. Well, we're the workers.
That's right. Exactly.
Maybe we should start firing some of these workers. Oh, we can't do that, you know.
No, so it's like
it just seems weird to me that's how this is set up.
That's right. It was like the time I walked in the pro shop at our local golf club, and I was standing there waiting, you know, to pay for my cart. And one of the old guys from the club was chewing on this guy, you know, young guy, and he's griping about the fairway over on 14 and the sand trap on 7 and bang. You know, I'm just listening, just grumping for 10 minutes. So he walks out, and then the guy's like, you know, trying to be all chirpy. You know, he just got his butt chewed out. And I said, you know, for the first time I realized our jobs are very similar. I was like, you're the golf pro, I'm the preacher. And, you know, you get your butt chewed out about once a week by somebody grumping over something you really don't have any control over.
But, think about any of it, like football. I mean, if the players
– don't perform, stink. Fire the coach.
Well, guess what? Fire the coach. I mean, it's just, but I think, you know, you got to get it right in the Lord. And I mean, I read Ephesians 4. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do about that because the model is the model.
Right.
We're going to pay people to do the Lord's work. We're going to sit and see if they're doing a good job. That needs to change.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, look.
I think that's why he was, I mean, I've said this 100 times since we studied Corinthians. I mean, he kept sharing that Jesus is Lord. I mean, you have surrendered yourselves to the Lord.
Right.
And we're going to get to this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. And this is his plan, not ours. You know, that part about we're therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. What's that got to do with you paying a preacher and just sitting?
Right.
You're Christ's ambassador. What does an ambassador do? Represents.
Right.
That's why I said when it goes back to the Bible scriptures, if you get in your head that you're introducing the author, I think it'll be a lot easier to learn the scriptures. Because during the conversations that come up about scriptures, it's okay to say, I don't know what that means. But
a lot of time, the most oft-asked question is, okay, you know, we did it the other night. Somebody called in Al on the book signing. He said, I've just become a Christian. How do I put all this into practice?
Yeah.
I hear that all the time. Yeah. How do I do it? And other than just tell him, say, these scriptures have to become part of your psyche. This is the way you think.
Right.
You know, be ready to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I mean, be ready to give them an answer.
Right. And plus I
quote that verse in almost every speech I give. Oh. Plus it's in your heart, set apart Christ
as
Lord.
It's a lifetime of doing it, though, because the specific part.
It's going to take him some time.
Yeah, because the specific part of what he asked was, he said, I didn't raise my kids right, but now I'm in Christ. But now they're a mess. Well, it's like, yeah, well, that's because everything up to now has been a mess. But you have to continue. And that's what you told him. You said you got to be consistent. You got to live it in front of them.
Be patient.
And be patient. That's exactly right.
But just like before we get to 1 Corinthians 11, I mean, that's Paul. And then he starts talking about all the different relationships that we have, which God designed, by the way. I mean, this was his plan.
Right.
I mean, if you're – you got to acknowledge something. Either this was just really lucky. Either this was really lucky that you know, men and women. I'm pulling an Allen Field.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised.
That's hollering at the film crew.
Hey, what are y'all doing?
What are you doing out there?
God.
Oh, hang on. Pause it. Phil's going to take a break. Pause it, Kate.
I mean, I just cannot get this out of my head. I've been struggling with it all morning.
Yeah, they've been. Lisa's got it too. She
would make this joint a little more, loosen it up a little bit. Oh, don't get off camera. Yeah. Hey, I'll be back.
It's okay. All right, go ahead.
I mean, God designed this, and Paul. Is in Peter in his letter. I mean, when you brought that verse up, I remember when I taught Corinthians, I used that verse because it's the same concept. You know, right after you talked about husbands and wives, Peter said, "In your hearts, 1 Peter 3:15, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." And then when you go back to Corinthians, you see the same thing. It's about once you become inward focused on yourself and what you get out of this deal or who you are, and you're looking at your identity not through the eyes of you've been created by God for a purpose.
Right.
That's how we get off.
That's
in societies and churches.
Yep.
And people are walking around and they don't know how they got here. They don't know who they are, and they sure don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And so it's just restless wonders that meanders through identity crisis, gender crisis,
right.
Relationship crisis, marriage crisis, kid crisis, rebellious teenagers. You know, all these things happen. Well, if you don't have some foundation, some rock that you can go to find answers, how are you ever going to figure it out?
Well, that guy I talked to yesterday, he was seated there. He was from... He said Southern Utah, and he was living in Maine. And I thought, and he was asking me, he said, you know, I noticed that you give all your answers with scriptures. And he said, what's, how do you end up doing that? I said, what's today? He said, well, today's Wednesday. I said, we're worshiping God here, and it's Wednesday. It's not Sunday morning. We haven't driven anywhere. We're just talking about the scriptures and life and why people cancel each other and hatred and all this, and we're dealing with it. I said, this is Wednesday. I said, tomorrow's Thursday. The same thing will be going on with me. Then Friday come along and Saturday. I said, if you just ever get it down to where the only time you worship is at a service, worship service, one day a week, a couple of hours, I said, that's not enough to learn the scriptures and to live by. That's not enough.
I remember, let's
take it. It's got to be, you know, Romans 12.
Let's take a break. So our friends at Omega XL, Dad, tell us that you have 360 joints, starting with your neck, going all the way down to your feet. A lot of joints in the human body.
Amazingly, I'm 75 and none of mine hurt.
You know why? Because you're taking, on a daily basis, Omega XL.
I do.
Which is really incredible. You hear those in there. These are from extract from mussels that are growing. You and I actually saw the shells of the mussel.
Go no further than the pristine waters of New Zealand.
That's pretty good. And you're healthy and you feel good. So it's the green lip mussel is what they call it. And they grow it and farm it in New Zealand. A great product. Check them out. If you got aches and pains, I'm telling you, this works. Dad and I really swear by it. OmegaXL.com/Phil. You're going to order a bottle. You're going to get a bottle for free. So you're going to get a couple of months supply to get you going. OmegaXL.com/Phil. Or you can call them 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888. OmegaXL.com/Phil. I remember, Dad, whenever I was preaching a little church and all the parishioners there at the church, they would leave their Bibles on the pew where they'd be there when they got back.
At the next appointed time. Yeah.
And I just remember one said, of course, I'm young. You know, these old people, they've heard all these different sermons. Finally, one day I said, I was all worked up preaching, you know. I was like, you need to take them Bibles home with you, you know, because it's every day of the week. I was making my point. But these all little old ladies, you know, they knew more Bible than I would ever know. But I did find it ironic that people fall into that trap where it's just like, that's the only time.
Leave your Bibles on the pew.
Well, when we get to 2 Corinthians 5 to finish up my thought, compared with Peter having the same concept, he says in 2 Corinthians 5, the second part of 11, he says, what we are is plain to God, which goes back to a thought we had earlier about that we're, it's more powerful to acknowledge that we are known by God. He knows us.
Right.
Inside and out. And then it says in verse 12, it says, we're giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart.
Which right.
goes back to the same principle. God knows our hearts. He knows what is unseen deep down in our soul. Then he says in 14, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced. And this is a strange saying, but it says that one died for all. And therefore, all died. And people say, what does that mean? If we are convinced that Jesus died for everyone, what does that mean that therefore all died? Well, he explains it in verse 15. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And then he gets to the point of all this is from God who brought himself through Christ and gave us, I mean, brought us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, bringing others to God through Jesus. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So my point is, when you back all that up, if you're sitting in a pew thinking about yourself, you've missed something.
Right.
You missed the whole thing.
Yep.
And so when you go to the more controversial passages in 10 and 11, which we're fixed to get to, that was the problem. People weren't acknowledging themselves as I'm made by God.
Right. No, I agree. And
their culture was playing a bigger part and a negative part, the culture around them.
Exactly.
Was making them be the opposite of ambassadors. These
right.
people had, they dragged what their culture was into over in the church, and here we go.
Right.
You know, which in American religion and the denominational world, that same thing happens all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, he was.
Did they bring the culture in with them? And you say, nah.
He's laying the basis. Like when he got to 31 to 10, he's like, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. I mean, it's like almost whatever you can think of. Why don't you just do it for the glory of God?
Yep.
And don't cause people to stumble.
Yeah.
Whether whoever they are, Jews, Greeks, or even in the church.
And then
I try to please everybody in every way, but why are you doing it? You're doing it for the glory of God.
Right. And then he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So the first thing he's going to get into in chapter 11, which is sort of, and all of these are going to be kind of within the church here in Corinth, is what they're looking like. There's a way that they're looking in Corinth that's taking them out of the role that God has for them to do, and it's giving a bad message for the gospel. I mean, that's the only reason he would include it, is if it was causing harm, right, to what they were trying to do. It was their witness. It kind of continues the thoughts. Let me read it, and then we'll all kind of weigh in on what we think he's talking about here. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I passed them on to you. So he starts out by saying, you know, you've done a lot of things good, which anytime, you know, somebody corrects you, they usually tell you, give you a little bit of good news, which is what he does. Because remember, Paul was with him for a year and a half. So he spent a lot of time with these people. He knows them well. Now, I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is just as though her head were shaved. If a woman does not cover her head, she should have her hair cut off. For it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut or shaved off. She should cover her head. Again, we're dealing with a lot of cultural stuff that's going on in this city. And then, of course, it's now gone to the church. Let's take a break. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. For this reason, and because of the angels, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. Verse 11, in the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God.
Well, that's a key phrase.
It is. In fact, I would say that's the key phrase, the key
comes
verse.
From God. In the Lord, however, because remember, Jesus is Lord.
Right.
Woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. That's a clever phrase.
Right. So in other words, so the idea of somehow making one greater than another is not his point.
Well, because what happens is everybody who reads that scripture, when they heard, well, God is the head of
Christ
and Christ
is the head of man.
Head of man, and man is the head of woman. Well, every woman just said, well, wait a minute now. But we just read the scripture. People are like, well. So then when you read in 11, you're like, well, maybe I'm missing something on what that means.
Right.
Because we immediately think, well, if somebody's the head of something, that means or they're better or they're superior, which is just can't be further from the truth.
Well, and to me, Jace.
Yeah, if you don't have the women, nobody gets here.
Well, and he makes that point.
But there's no reason to panic when you read. And so then when you say, what is all this head covering and okay, they had some different things going on in their culture. But the bottom line, and I think we all agree, is if you're identifying as a male, okay.
Yeah.
God created you that way. That doesn't mean that there are some more masculine males and there are some males who are more feminine.
Right.
You're still a male. And then in the female world, it's the same thing. So here you have a culture, we already know their past in 1 Corinthians 6, the list that you quoted, there were prostitutes and homosexual offenders and that whole, remember when we read that in 1 Corinthians 6?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I can.
It was a rough bunch.
And so we know already there's some identity issues. And
you remember even Bowles talking about with the whole, you know, Aphrodite and the whole temple worship and all that, which included sex, he was saying in that Greek and then later Roman culture that the reason he mentions homosexuality several times in there is because in their mindset, if you had a homosexual encounter, that didn't count as a sexual encounter. That was their mindset. Mm-hmm. And so therefore they were doing anything and everything with whoever. And so that becomes, when you think about it, you see that blurring of the gender line, that's what you get into, which is what is the ultimate point here.
That's what America is hammering down right now.
Well, everything repeats itself.
Right.
Because if you don't acknowledge that, but everything comes from God, we're obviously different. I mean, anybody who's not acknowledging that, the differences between a male and female are in just complete denial. I mean, we're different.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden you have this capacity from a physical realm of bringing life through this union.
Right.
Which is, we take it for granted. But I mean, the first time I saw one of my kids born, I thought, wow. whoever came up with this process
is to be praised. I saluted women worldwide.
I'm telling you.
When I saw Jephthah, my youngest one, burst forth from Miss Kay's loins, I thought, whoo, man.
Burst forth.
Thank God for women, because I don't know whether men would even do this.
No. There's not a man that's man enough to be a woman.
And next thing you know, they're pregnant again. They do it again. You know, you said, boy, you know, the pain and the misery to get us here is profound.
It is. And apparently it was changed because we know part of the whole thing in the garden, it became more difficult once sin entered the equation. So apparently old Mother Eve was not having quite the difficulty that women would have after her.
Yeah.
You know, according to Genesis 3.
You know, Moses, I guess he wrote Genesis, but he was saying women, the more pain.
That's right.
So they're tough as boot leather to go around having children. I'll tell you that.
They're tougher than
that. I heard a sermon, Pastor Tom, which I'll get into this next time, but just to introduce it, you know, when you read these passages like that are difficult, 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 7, and
14.
Yeah, and 14. And you know, you had all this, you know, going back to what Bowles shared with us, kind of what the culture was back there. I think a lot of times the way he broke it down in our families are you have God's ideal. I mean, his ideal situation, he lays it out. You can be single. You can live for the Lord single. You can marry. A man and a wife, till death do us part. And people, and you can wait till you get married before you have any kind of sex. I mean, this is God's ideal. And we've talked about that before. But then you have the real world. In the real world, it's messy. Things are complicated. People are married multiple times. People are unsure of their identity and you have all these situations. And so he kind of came at it from an angle based on what happened in the beginning, which you have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that was more the real world. That was a temptation that God didn't tempt them. He just told them the facts. But you know, as humans do, they went over there and it became about their performance. They wanted to do it. They wanted to take the role of God and not trust him. And then all of a sudden, shame came. Well, then you have the tree of life, which would eventually be the tree of life, Jesus on a cross, where God's eternal grace and mercy and unconditional love would be present. So you have an earthly perspective, is my point, of all the messes human makes by our own having a knowledge of good and evil. And then you have the heavenly perspective, which the ideal, which is God's way. So he kind of started there and said, how can we figure this out on our roles to use our marriages and our families and even our singleness to give glory to God and be ambassadors as
God? And I think he answers it, and it's coming up shortly in another couple of chapters. He talks about how powerful and how devastating without it, and how powerful it can be if you practice it, or how devastating it's going to be if you don't. That's when you get to a little word, L-O-V-E.
Yeah.
In other words, he kind of brings it together right there where you say, keeps no record of wrong. It's not rude.
It's
no
anger.
You're right. There's no accident that chapter, as we would call it, but that, you know, section is right in the middle of these issues that he's dealing with inside this church.
You got to remember too, in 1 Corinthians 12.
I've been quoting it every day nationwide.
Right.
I never leave that out.
No, because that's what we're missing.
Before we have to go, 1 Corinthians 12 and Galatians 3 makes it clear when he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, you're all in Christ Jesus. So whatever narrative we've come up with to somehow think that God is viewing women in a lesser degree or inferior.
Or that we should view them a lesser degree.
Hogwash and nonsensical. You know, Ephesians 5, he started off the whole section on husbands and wives. The first phrase is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The bottom line is we have different roles. We're made different.
Yep.
You know, I saw somewhere or heard from that sermon, I think, that in a bathroom, men have six items. Basic toothbrush, toothpaste, you know, razor. I didn't even have but like four of the six. A woman has over 400.
Yeah.
And I couldn't identify probably 398 of them.
Maybelline is a powerful thing.
So I'm saying, hey, the point, we're different. We have different roles, and when you look at from being a mother.
So I want to. So we're out of time, but I want to explore that a little bit more, Jason, in our overtime segment. BlazeTV.com/unashamed is where you're going to get access to the overtime. Now, Uncanceled is out. Go to Amazon.com to get that, and be sure and leave a review when you do that as well. So we'll see you on the other side in the overtime.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.